Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go. Yes, sir.
All right. It's Denver's home for today's comedy. Comedy 103.1 is Big Mike and in studio. We have a man who's here this weekend at Comedy Works downtown. I mean, actor, writer, TV show host. And this weekend, he's doing the stand-up thing right here in Denver, Colorado. I'd like to welcome Josh Wolf.
What's up, man?
Hey. Did I miss anything on there?
Well, let me ask you something before I answer that.
Yeah.
Are you the only person, am I the only person that... If I see Purell in front of me, I just have to put some on my head.
You know, you got to. It's such a cool, soothing feeling.
I just don't know. I don't even know what it is. Like, I don't feel like my hands are dirty, but if I just see it on a counter or like at the bank. Wherever, or you're at it, I'm just like, if it's there, I mean.
Well, you assume if it's there, there must be a reason it's there.
Yeah, like if it's there, like.
This must be a dirty place.
Yeah, like they're saying, hey, that last guy, not you, but the last guy. Yeah.
You don't want to know who's been sitting in that seat right there. You'd wash your hands too.
Dude, you don't think that's why I put it in my hands like I know comedians.
Yeah.
I don't. Are you kidding me? Like, I would drink.
You might want to pour that all over the microphone,
I'm going to drink this when like, I'm definitely going to take a shot or two in the mouth real quick. That sounded dirty, but it wasn't. But
yeah.
I'm definitely going to have a little Purell in the mouth. Have you ever tasted this stuff, by the way?
I've yet to taste Purell.
You've never tasted it like on a dare, goof?
I wouldn't take it as a dare. So you have, I imagine.
Well, I mean, not like for free, but like,
are you offering money up right now?
I'm wondering how much it would take for you to eat a dollop of Purell.
Throw an offer at me.
We're gonna have to define dollop.
I guess question number one is: you obviously survived your experience with it?
Yeah, it's not great.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna lie to you, it's not great. Like,
okay.
Because knowing how ungreat it is, I would offer up a certain amount of money that you would think, man, this dude's dumb. Yeah, I'll do that. And then you're gonna be like, man, that was not great.
I
should have took more.
As great as it feels when you put it on your hands, I don't know if I want to feel that going all the way down my esophagus.
No. There's a reason that it probably says on here, don't eat.
Yeah.
Most of the things you don't need a sign that says don't eat.
Yeah.
But I honestly would say the Purell would be one of them.
Yes.
Because it doesn't look terrible.
Right.
And it kind of smells like, you know, like those really extreme mouth strip mints.
Right.
Where you put it on your tongue, you're like, ooh, my breath's going to be fresh for 5 years.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, but so it seems like this could be that.
It's antibacterial.
Yeah, in theory, it cleans.
Yeah.
And for those of us who aren't that smart, we don't know, like, why that would, it says refreshing gel. Why wouldn't it be?
It's like a vaccination shot. You know, it might hurt for a little while, but in the long run, it's going to do you very well.
Yeah, and it says kills more than 99.99% of germs. You don't think I want to go germ free in my mouth?
Yeah.
I totally want to go germ free in my mouth.
It doesn't leave the percentage of how many people it might kill if you drink enough of it.
Well,
but
it also doesn't say, you know, when it says germs, good germs too.
Like, yeah, he probably
it kills
needs
every
those.
Living everything that's living in your mouth, including your gums and your tongue and your taste buds.
The bacteria that helps you digest won't exist anymore.
Yeah, that
so,
stuff.
Yeah.
But it'll be clean, man.
And for the right amount of money, it might be not worth it.
Yeah. I would suggest people that. I'm trying to think. I ate a cockroach once.
Okay.
That was on TV. It was like I was hosting a show. I used to host a live show. You ever heard of that show called Naked After Dark?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Naked Afraid.
You did Naked After Dark afterwards.
I did Naked After Dark, and we did it live, and we did it with the contestants.
Mm.
So I got to ask them all the questions that you wanted. You know, it was really very cool.
Yeah.
And but some of them were interesting people, dude. But, but on one of the shows, I was like, you know, when we were talking about what we're going to do, I go, I should eat whatever they ate to survive.
Yeah.
You know, I should have the option. So They bring out...
You're a host that commits to the hosting.
Oh, dude, if I told you some of the stuff that I did. But so I was like, okay, what are the options? So the options were maggots.
Okay.
And the guy brought out a huge tray. Maggots, these big blue caterpillars that looked like they should have come out of Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you looked like they were about to sprout some wings and some gold was going to come off the wings.
Well, I've learned that usually the bright, colorful ones are the ones you want to stay away from.
Well, also, I said, what's the deal with this one? This one looks delicious. Like, it looks like a gummy worm. And I'll pop an edible and I'll just eat my gummy worm. You know what I mean? And the guy was like, well, how are you with, like, texture? I go, what do you mean? He goes, that's going to explode in your mouth. And I said, what? I go, he goes, it's filled with goo.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, so, like, it's going to be like biting into a really thick, like a smaller egg roll filled with jelly. And I was like, no way. But the third one was a cockroach. Now, I just... For whatever reason, to me, maggot signifies disgusting more than cockroach.
Yeah.
Do you buy
death
that?
And yeah, you know,
do you
death
buy that?
And,
do you buy maggot over cockroach? No,
oh, no, I don't. I mean, I think a cockroach. I think like Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, you know, yeah, just some crunch and you know.
So it was like it was one of those big old ones.
Yep.
And the guy was like, "Okay, I go. I just so you know, when I, this was before the show, I go, I'm gonna eat the cockroaches."
Now, so are these living? Are these dead?
Live,
are these
cooked?
Oh, okay.
So it was me, Michelle Beadle.
Great name.
Do you know Michelle Beadle?
Well, just the fact that you're about That's to eat funny. A beetle. I just, you know.
Michelle Beadle, she's the woman on Sports Nation.
Okay.
She does all the NBA stuff for ESPN. Mm-hmm. And so I had asked her to come on the show, and then it was the two contestants and the bug guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, everybody, we're going to eat a cockroach. And I bite into it, and you know, you ever heard of freshen up gum?
Yeah.
You know how it just explodes in your mouth for a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just kind of, I shot it, and I chewed it up real quick, and I swallowed it down. And
did you just go right for it, or did you take a minute? Did you have to like kind
of?
Yeah,
it's like jumping out of a plane. Dude.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah, yeah.
You just gotta jump out of the plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you think. If you're in the plane, you look down and you think, that looks like a long way down.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to do it. You just got to jump. You know what I mean? When you bungee jump, you just got to jump. So you can't stare at the cockroach. It's not going to get any better.
Right.
Your brain isn't going to somehow convince you, oh, no, this is totally cool. Totally cool.
Was this a double bite cockroach or was this a single?
What's that length I'm talking? Does that look like 3 inches?
Well, for me, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
to you, that looks like 8 inches, but that's 3 inches. So I bite it down, chew, swallow. And then I show that there's nothing in my mouth. When I open my mouth, Beetle, she gagged it up a little bit, but I couldn't believe she did it. I did it. I was calling her a wuss as a joke. I didn't think she'd actually do it. She was so ballsy to do it. And then the two people in the show ate it down, the bug guy ate it down.
Right.
And then after the show, the guy says to me, he goes, whew, I forgot to tell you something. And I go, what? He goes, I forgot to tell you, it's really important to make sure that you kill the cockroach in your mouth. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you know, what can happen is these cockroaches are so big. He said, you ever cut a cockroach in half? I go, yeah, the top half lives. He goes, right. He said, if you just cut the cockroach in half, on the way down your throat, I've seen it happen that the cockroach is still alive. It just grabs out and holds with both sides
yeah.
and the people choke and die. And I was like, you didn't want to tell me before we did that on live TV? And he was like, well, I wasn't sure if you were going to do it if I told you before.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
but I would have liked to know that there was an option of death.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
like I would have chewed it 3 more times is all I'm saying.
I think somebody told him before telling you, like, look, this is an opportunity for
Don't
big ratings.
This guy.
this could be a great TV moment.
On another one of the live shows I did for Discovery, I did it on Shark Week.
Uh-huh.
I did a show called Shark After Dark.
You're like the king of the late night, like afterwards TV show specials. I mean, look at that.
I did it for Discovery for a couple years. I did it for most of their shows. But I love live. Mm-hmm. I always told people, man, there's something about live that even when nothing goes wrong, there's a different energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a different energy. And when something does go wrong, the audience loves it. The people at home love it. You know what it was like? Do you ever watch The Sopranos?
Mm-hmm. Okay. A long time ago, yeah.
Okay, so The Sopranos... What made it great is that They showed the brutality.
Right.
And when people died, they died horrifically. Right?
Didn't pull any punches.
But people didn't die all the time. Mm. But you were always on the edge of your seat that somebody could die. Because when they died suddenly and violently. Mm. Well, it's the same idea with live TV. If something weird happened every show, it wouldn't be a big deal. But if something weird happens every once in a while, it keeps people on the edge of their seat looking around for something to happen. Now, most TV networks are scared of live TV, and for good reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they never know what's going to happen. And when you have a comedian hosting, I forgot to ask you at the beginning of this show if I could swear, but I've had to censor myself like 30 times.
Right.
So, you know, if you have somebody who hasn't done radio or hasn't done live TV, it can get dicey. We were talking about on the ride over here, there are certain stations that won't have comedians in just because they don't want to take the risk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get it. I totally get it. So, but on the Discovery one, the other thing we did once after Shark After Dark, we had a guy come on who, and you can see he has these body suits. You can see him online where he puts his arm in sharks' mouths.
Yeah.
And they shake him about. And it doesn't pierce the suit. Now, it ripped his arm out of a socket.
Oh.
Because it's a shark.
Yeah.
But, so we wanted to test it on our show. So, I had one of the guys, one of my friends from The Walking Dead, a guy named Michael Cutlets. He played Abraham on the show.
Okay.
He came on and stabbed me right above the heart. And you can find that online. Probably Josh Wolf, Shark After Dark.
You're lucky he just by instinct he didn't go for the head because you know, he's got people in the head. Like.
I will tell you, dude, he did it hard enough where the knife bent. He stabbed me once and I go, let's do it a little harder. And he stabbed me again. And it's one of the reasons I think the network liked me is because they knew that for me, once I was in the moment, same thing with the cockroach, anything goes. Let's make the best TV we can make. And he stabbed me that last one where the knife bent, dude, into a C.
Yeah.
You can see my face on the clip because I could, it didn't pierce the skin.
Yeah.
But it went, the blunt force went through my muscle. Like, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was brutal. And then Josh McDermott, who's a comic, who's on that show, broke this dude's hand with an ice pick. But didn't, you can see that, dude. That clip online too is amazing because you can see it. He starts to really, he's doing that Russian thing through the fingers, and you can see it when he hits the dude's hand hard with an ice pick. Didn't break the skin, so the suit works, but you could see where he broke his hand. His face just went, and we were all like, oh no, am I next? Wait a second, he just did something bad.
Hopefully there were a lot of disclaimers signed or whatever before the show.
It was great television. There was one clip on from that show where I interviewed Tara Reid and her brain broke on TV. I asked her, she said she was sitting there, she was promoting Sharknado, and she was like, So I when I came on the show, I didn't want to sound stupid, so I Googled shark, and then I Googled whale shark. Because I thought that's when a whale and a shark had sex. And everyone was looking at each other like, oh no, okay. And she was like, but it turns out sharks and whales are both mammals, so they can have sex together.
You don't want that double mammal.
And then she was like, but who has sex with dolphins? And we were all looking around like, oh, okay. It's a great clip. It's one of my favorite things.
And I think it really probably helped with Sharknado.
It helped our show tremendously.
Yeah.
Because almost every radio station in the country called me the next day, like, what happened to her? But I wouldn't. I was like, I don't know. I think she just opened her mouth. Like, I don't think anything happened to her.
I'm proud of her for putting in the effort to
learn. It was amazing. She was the best guest we'd ever had. We asked her back the next year. She crushed it.
We have Josh Wolf in studio. He's at Comedy Works downtown this weekend. So obviously, you know, we're talking about some of your TV gigs, but this weekend you're hitting the stage doing the stand-up. And you know, obviously with that, you did a lot of the live aspect of it. So sometimes people will do TV shows and you have to wait for it to be released or whatever. You had that reaction. But what is it about stand-up that you like going back to and, you know, hitting the road?
Well, if you can't tell just by me sitting here, you know, I'm clean next to it. If you can't tell just from me sitting here, I'm going to wipe my nose with my finger, everybody. Sorry.
Some Purell right there.
Yeah, I'm going to just Purell it. If you can't tell from me sitting here, I'm a storyteller.
Mm.
I like telling stories. And so I, and because of that, like sometimes, well, sometimes I can tell an entire act of an hour of just stories about my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so last weekend I did an hour of what my special is going to be. And then my Saturday early show, and then my Saturday late show, I did a different hour.
Oh, wow.
I didn't mention the kids once.
Two different shows.
So like sometimes if I know people are coming to the early show, like, and they're friends of mine and they're like, we're going to stay, I'll do a different. And like Saturday, I might run my hour. And when I say run my hour, I'm working on this hour. That is what I love about it is it starts with one story and it ends with the same story.
Mm.
So what I wanted it to be was, you know, Birbiglia does those one person shows, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted it to have a feel of, oh, this is one piece, but more stand up than Birbiglia is a little more theatrical,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's stand up, but it's one story.
Right, right.
And so I'm just working that through right now. Last weekend I did it twice, standing ovation, which was I'm not used to that. Like I'm not the standing yoga. I'm not the guy who posted on Instagram, another standing yoga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm more like, hey, there weren't that many empty seats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? but you know what's weird, man? You know, I feel like the Chelsea Lately branded me a certain type of comic.
Mm.
And it's not who I am. And I'm not bagging the brand at all.
Right, right, right.
But it's interesting to me, like, you know, my social media following is 79% women. I couldn't be more, I'm not a misogynist comic at all, but I couldn't be more have a dude feel, yeah. But bros don't come to my show.
Right.
The bros that do come back.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh yeah, this is it. Yeah. This is what we like that. You know what I mean? But it's,
those are the guys that are walking shark after dark. And
yeah, man. Yeah. Well, I'm starting to get them now that like I've done a bunch of stuff on Fighter and the Kid and on Joey Diaz's podcast, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But, yeah, so, you know, that early show.
Well, where can all the bros find you on Twitter? Where
at Josh Wolf Comedy.
Okay.
Oh, and I do a podcast with Freddie Prinze Jr. called, yep. Prince and the Wolf, mm-hmm. which is, dude, he's got the best eyes. And the stories about his dad are like, and, you know, are you a comedy nerd at all?
Yeah, I love comedy.
So have you ever watched any old Freddie Prinze?
Oh, yeah.
His dad?
Uh-huh.
God, I mean, look.
And his kid with the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And in WWE. And yeah, all the stuff he's done.
He loves WWE.
Yeah.
Man. We had this talk the other day because, you know, he is schooling me a little bit on it. But we had this talk the other day about who, I was like, who do you think the best managers of all time are? You know, and he's like, you got to be good on the mic. You've got to be good on the mic to be a manager. And I was like, for me, the best of all time is still Captain Lou. Like, mm-hmm. was there anybody better? And he was like, nah. Captain Lou's the best,
mm-hmm.
of all. Are you a wrestling guy?
Oh, huge wrestling guy.
Would you say Captain
WrestleMania Lou's, is this weekend.
Would you say Captain Lou is the best of all time?
I mean, I think even though he's more recent, Paul Heyman, the guy who started ECW.
Oh, yeah. Paul Heyman was with Undertaker, right?
He's with Brock Lesnar, who's this weekend Brock Lesnar's facing Bill Goldberg in WrestleMania.
So. Who's the guy who was the Undertaker?
Paul Bearer.
Right.
Paul Bearer was a classic, too. And he just had that high-pitched voice.
Yeah,
he was great. Yeah.
You know, and Freddie used to write for WWE.
Yeah.
He's some fascinating stories. I'm telling you guys, like, the thing about Freddie and my podcast, like, so Freddie is a Star Wars comic book nerd, like, nerd. He's on Twitch. Like, his Twitch account is massive. He's a huge gamer. He's had a best-selling cookbook. He's nerd. And we're both dads, but he's also a comedy nerd. Like, he knows deep stuff.
Mm.
But so he can talk about anything. And fighting, he's like a Golden Gloves boxer, and he's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Plus, he's got, you know, he's married to Sarah Michelle Gellar. So he's got some really cool stories about Hollywood now and Hollywood then. The podcast is like, it's blowing up.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, when you can get two people that could tell great stories together,
dude,
I mean, I got to imagine it's a great combination.
I'm telling you, and I'm not going to tell any of his stories on here, but mm-hmm. some of his stories about his dad and the stories that people tell him about his dad are like, and then, you know, this week we talked about, I asked him, I said, you know, did every script come across your desk? And he was like, yeah, yeah. In the 90s, he was like, all the teen scripts came across my desk. And I go, I asked him, I go, what role, if you could have picked any role, like around that time where you were like, man, I wanted to do that. And he was like, you know what it would have been? What was that one Val Kilmer did where he was super smart? I can't remember the name. Real genius.
Super genius.
Something genius. He's going to kill me because this is one of the things that he gets on me about. I can't remember. Like, I do a lot of Doug Love movies.
It was the 90s.
Real Genius, I think it was called. Val Kilmer Genius.
Wasn't it Real Genius?
Yeah, Genius Guy. Genius Man.
It was called Real Genius.
Real Genius. Yeah.
1985. The year of my birth.
So he said, he was like, yeah, man. And it was before my time a little bit. But if I could have played, because we were talking about, I wondered out loud why the great teen movies were in the 80s, some 90s, but they just aren't here now. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's writing John Hughes type great teen anthems.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to think, maybe Superbad is the last one I can think of. That wasn't a romance. That was like, you know what I mean?
Just kids going through. I mean, yeah, because I mean, Superbad was great. I mean, I can't think of it.
Can you think of anything after Superbad?
Not that recently, no. I mean,
because Michael Cera grew up too quick.
Oh, he grew up like that.
Yeah, he grew up. Maybe Juno? But Juno was also adult.
Yeah, and I think that was before Superbad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like it. But but no, like, Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
No, restaurant scenes with Anthony Michael Hall from Weird Science.
Well, I'm sure they might exist, but it's like, you know, things that stand up now. It's so big box office now, and you know,
it almost seems like comic book movies have taken the place of that, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's like, as you see when you watch like the Oscars. I mean, one of the running jokes for most of us was like, you probably haven't watched this movie, but here it is, best movie, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, all the good quality movies, sometimes you don't even know they exist.
Well, you know what? I also go, like, I understand that, but I also, like, once, and I think Howard Stern has talked about this a little bit, but I couldn't agree more. Like, listen, the Avengers, Age of Ultron made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to put it up for best picture, or you're just going to tell the most of us that we're dumb?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get Manchester by the Sea is a great, but is he going to nominate 9 Manchester by the Seas?
There needs to be a category for these big movies. I mean, because that's why the average person will watch the Academy Awards because of the host.
Look, I've always said that. Like, and people have said, well, Justin Bieber sells millions of records. Does he deserve to be nominated? He is nominated.
Yeah.
He's nominated. Like, there are tons of times that I'll watch those music award shows. I'm like, that's garbage. But I get it.
Yeah.
40 million people downloaded it. Maybe I'm the dumb one. You know what I mean? And it's mixed in a little bit. The poppy, broad appeal to everybody stuff is mixed in with like a Sturgill Simpson or somebody that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the movies, it's all 8 people saw that.
Yeah, unless you're like a movie like Star Wars that has a lot of graphics, so you can get a special effects.
The third one. Yeah, you've made $8 billion. I guess we have to recognize that you might be okay. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And like horror movies. They need to have a horror movie category.
Horror movies?
Horror movies. They've got the AVN Awards. The AVN Awards are taking care of the horse. I'm talking about horror movies. Like, there's no horror category. Man.
I agree. They should. You know what? But you're right, man. Like, but so what they're not doing is now they've added like Golden Globes have added comedy. But I am so. You ask anybody. Okay, let me just. I know what you're putting on your jacket, so we got to go. But let me just say this: what's harder, acting or comedy? Comedy. And I'm going to tell somebody. Somebody asked me the other day, who do you think in an interview? They were like, who's the hottest, best, most brilliant 25-year-old comedian? I said, that person doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy is too hard. There have been people who won Oscars as teenagers. There are musicians that hit huge at 21. Find me the 25-year-old genius comedian. It doesn't exist because what we do, I'm not saying it's harder, but man, you got to put a lot. There's a different time period that you have to put in and a different set of experience you have to have. If you find a genius comedian under the age of 30, that person is a unicorn.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, if they exist, they're probably doing open mics at the moment.
Yeah.
And they're probably, you know, trying to get their way in or doing a YouTube channel.
Right. Because think about the youngest huge comic we have. Now, I think Michael Che has got to be probably, but he's not massive, but because SNL. Maybe a couple of the YouTube kids, but they're not great comics.
Yeah, yeah.
They might sell a couple tickets, but they're not great comics. Do you know what I mean?
And Young, I mean, I gotta think about Young because in my head, I think Aziz Ansari. But I mean,
tell me the five best comics in the world right now for you.
Five best?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Louis C.K. is awesome. Bill Burr.
Mid-40s, almost 50.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, the great ones like that. I mean, have been coming here. Comedy Works for, you know, decades.
Right.
But, yeah, it's they're all, you know, been around the game for a while.
Yeah. And so you got a two-year window.
Yeah.
And then you're too old.
Yeah. Netflix is here for you now. Netflix is putting specials on. We've got Josh Wolf. Hey, man, it's been great chopping up with you. He's going to be at Comedy Works downtown. He's got a whole bunch of stories like that. And like he said, sometimes a show are different. So buy like four of his shows this weekend. Go to all four.
We're going to do a bunch of different. We're going to do this special at one show, I think, Saturday early. We'll probably do a completely different hour Saturday late. And then depending on what Friday late looks like, I may just try a bunch of new material.
There you go. Josh Wolf, thank you so much for making time for us, man. Dude.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.